So you have the floor, please, sir. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and a very good afternoon as well to our Ecuadorian delegation and to those here with us in the room and following us online. I'll be dealing with issue 18 of the list of issues. In this area, the committee asked the state party concerning the situation concerning violence in prisons, specifically regarding the events of the 23rd of February 2021 in three rehabilitation centres, which led to 79 deaths, but the state party didn't answer this question. Subsequently to these situations of serious violence in prisons, there have been repeated instances up to the point that the CATS COBS in July of this year stated that there were more than 600 deaths of detainees between 2018 and 2023. In January of the same year, 2024, human rights organisation reports raised the alarm concerning the serious humanitarian crisis in Ecuadorian prisons, reporting a lack of drinking water, food, appropriate healthcare for prisoners. In March 2024, another violent riot took place in Turi prison in Cuenca, which led to 12 deaths. In May 2024, two wardens were killed in the surroundings of the Litoral prison. In July 2024, there was another outbreak of a riot in Litoral prison, and this led to 18 detainees dying and more than 30 being injured in September 2024. On the 3rd, there was the murder of the director of Esmeraldas prison, and 9 days later, the director of Litoral prison was also murdered in an attack in Guayaquil. According to the information we've received, this violence in prisons is rooted in the infiltration of organized crime into prisons. Have the state party looked into the underlying causes or shortcomings which have led to these episodes of serious violence in prisons in order to adopt the necessary steps to combat them? The committee has received information indicating the lack of prison staff, as well as steps to combat corruption, are seriously undermining the prison system. Could the delegation explain the measures adopted to regain control of the prison system, as well as share information concerning the compatibility of those measures with the rights of prisoners established in Basic Principles for the Treatment of Prisoners, adopted by the UN General Assembly in Resolution 45111. Could the State Party also tell us about the number of deaths in prisons this year, 2024, and have these included cases of torture or inhuman or degrading treatment? Are mechanisms enforced that are confidential for internal reporting, or any other useful measures to tackle cases of violence between prisoners and the excessive use of force by police agents and prison wardens? Does the State Party plan to guarantee unrestricted access of independent oversight and supervision mechanisms to detention centres, particularly the National Prevention Mechanism? I'll now turn to issue 20 concerning judicial independence. The committee is concerned by information it's received suggesting that we are seeing serious penetration of organised crime into the judiciary in Ecuador. The Attorney General publicly shared documents demonstrating that there were criminal structures that had paid off bribes to people in the judiciary, presumably in exchange for favourable decisions, amendments to the composition of courts, unjustified procedural delays, and shorter prison sentences to the benefit of members of organised crime gangs and their family members. According to official information, at least 19 judges from different regions and levels of the judiciary are involved in this racket. Could the State Party tell us about the outcome of these investigations and the steps taken to ensure the independence of those working in the judiciary, as well as to protect the work, life and integrity of those investigating acts of corruption? In the list of issues, the State Party was requested to provide information concerning the disciplinary structure used by judges and the measures adopted to avoid that. Pursuant to this disciplinary structure, judgments are not distorted and judicial independence isn't violated. In its report, the State Party avoids answering this question. Could the delegation inform us regarding the disciplinary structure for judges and prosecutors and the guarantees in place to safeguard judicial independence and the operational independence of prosecutors? We have received concerning information concerning irregularities within the selection process for the National Court, the Attorney General's Office and the Constitutional Court, which may have taken place between 2024 or might take place between 2024 and 2025. In this regard, could the delegation tell us about the measures taken to ensure that selection and designation procedures for judges and prosecutors and other high-ranking officers in the Judiciary and Prosecutor's Office have due transparency and diligence, as well as ensuring the application of objective criteria when assessing the merits of candidates? Could the State Party specifically explain how the Veronica Abad was dealt with in terms of Judge Munoz being assigned to that case? I'll now turn to issue 25. In response to issue 25 of the list of issues, the State Party told us about a series of legislative projects affecting the freedom of the press and communication. Given that this answer dates to 2021, could the delegation tell us about the status quo for those projects and laws before the National Assembly and the Presidency? Could you tell us, if appropriate, whether or not those have been subject to consultation with civil society? Could you explain to what extent the content of these bills of law are in line with Article 19 of our Covenant? According to our sources, in 2018, three journalists were kidnapped and murdered by organised criminals. And in 2022, there were four dead journalists, or journalists who disappeared violently. And these cases have not been clarified. Could you tell us, if you have investigated these, what the outcome of those investigations were? Finally, concerning the state prevention and protection mechanism for journalism, has the state mechanism been assigned the necessary resources to ensure its proper operationality, and what real collaboration is given to this mechanism, other institutions and civil society in this area? We've received information suggesting the possible use of the judicial system as a tool for censorship.